Tonight I want to consider our responsibility to the truth. Our responsibility to the truth. Truth is important in our lives. Often we would think of truth and maybe say, well, it is doctrine or it is something academic. But truth is not just an academic study. But truth is something that has to become a part of us. Truth is something that must be a reality in our lives. And more importantly, to study the truth is the study of the one who is truth, and that is Jesus Christ. And we're going to get to that in more detail. But I want to begin with saying, what is truth? What is truth? There's an interesting verse, which is Romans chapter 3, verse 4. Romans chapter 3, verse 4. And we're only going to read a small part of it. And it is talking in this verse about the conflict sometimes between God and man. And it says here, let God be true, but every man a liar. Now here's where you have to be careful with taking part of a verse, because you could, I suppose, twist that and say, well, God is telling us we should be liars. No, that's not what is being said here. Okay? That is not the intent. What the intent is that when there is conflict between what God says and what man says, that what God says is true. And when there is a conflict between those two points of view, God is always true and God is always right, and we are always wrong. And that is the intent behind this verse, that God is the one who is true. And truth is not relative. Truth does not depend on your point of view. Truth depends upon what God says. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy truth. What is thy truth? Thy word is truth. And so truth is not changeable. Truth is the word of God. And so when we read the word and we are told something, that is truth. And it's not subject to change. It's not subject to our interpretation. And whether we accept it or live it does not change the fact that it is true. How many of you recognize that gravity still works whether you believe it or not? Okay? And even when we had not discovered gravity 2,000 years ago, it still worked, didn't it? Because it was true. And in many ways, the truth of God's word is like that. It doesn't matter whether you believe it to be true. It is true. And therefore, the word of God is truth. Now, I want to go even beyond that. Because who is the word? Who is the word? Jesus. We're told that in John chapter 1 verse 14, right? And the word was made flesh. And then it goes on to speak of Jesus and say that he is full of grace and truth. And so when we speak of the word is truth, when we speak of truth, we are actually speaking of Christ. We're told this also in John chapter 14 verse 6, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so when we begin to consider truth, what is truth? Truth is very simple. Truth is God. Truth is what he has revealed in his word. That is what truth is. It is not simply doctrine, but it is the very person of Jesus Christ. And as I stated, I want to look at our responsibility to the truth. And there are four aspects of our responsibility that I want to talk about tonight. It is know it, love it, live it, and teach it. Know it, love it, live it, and teach it. So the first thing that we must do is we must know the truth. And this is, as I said, not just an academic study, but it is to be a reality. And when we say, well, we need to know the truth, it is not just simply a question of knowing a pat set of doctrines and a set of answers that are this is what is right and this is what is wrong. But because it is knowing the truth, which is Jesus Christ, it is knowing Him in all of His fullness. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So what is God's desire for mankind? God's desire for mankind. It's that they would know the truth. That they would know Jesus Christ, His Son, who came and died for our sins. That they would know the loving Father who sent the Son. That they would know God's law and His standard. That they would know Him. And God wants all to know the truth. And yet, so many do not. One of the verses that applies so much to our age, and in many ways you could say the age of enlightenment, as they called it, which we supposedly still live in. Although in some aspects I think it should have been called the age of endarkenment. But that's not a word. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And in many ways, education is the mantra of our day. We need to know, we need to know, we need to know. I remember once watching this documentary on a guy who was searching for some particle. And he was trying to explore some theory that Einstein had. And the problem was that they had tested and tested and tested, and there was the theory just was not working out. And so he had devoted his whole life to this, and they were using the particle accelerator, and they were trying, you know, to get everything to line up. And so, yes, he was learning different things, but he was never coming to the knowledge of the truth about how the universe began. And there was never any sense of, you know, maybe I'm on the wrong track here completely. Maybe Einstein's wrong. I know, that's sacrilege in the scientific community. You can never suggest that. But it drove home to me the point of how mankind can become so filled with knowledge and never know the truth. Truths that can be understood by young children, and yet there are adults who have spent their whole lives studying and have never understood what is true. And by God's grace, we have the privilege of knowing Him who is the truth, and we have the privilege of knowing truth. But we must pursue the truth, and we must love the truth, because the truth has tremendous power. John chapter 8, verse 32 says this, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So the first step to true freedom is to know the truth, the one who is truth, but to know what is true. To know what is right. That is the first step to true freedom. Because without knowledge, you can never go to the next step that I want to talk about. And that is love the truth. Love the truth. Zechariah chapter 8, verse 19. The last part of that passage says this. Therefore, love the truth and peace. Do you love the truth? I wonder. You know, one of the characteristics of Esau was that he lightly esteemed the things of God. He didn't really value what God had given him. And I'm not suggesting that we are Esau's. I hope not. But what I'm suggesting is that just because we know truth doesn't mean we value truth. Because loving truth is a step beyond knowing truth. And loving truth is essential if we are going to really value it and really apply it. You see, that which you love, you value. That which you love, you value. Proverbs 23:23 tells us, buy the truth and sell it not. How many of you have something that you love? Hopefully God, but we're going beyond that, okay? You know, have you ever watched Antiques Roadshow? Anybody watch Antiques Roadshow from time to time? You at least know what it is, right? Sometimes you see somebody saying, you know, and they get this valuation, and sometimes you can tell the person's just trying to make money. You know, they're just trying to score. But some people you can tell really love it, and it doesn't matter how much they tell them it's worth. They love it, and they will never part with it because they love it. And I know this is not a good modern-day example, but I was thinking, you know, my wife and my children, I love them. There's no money, no price, nothing you could give me that I would part with them for. Absolutely nothing. Because there is nothing of value so valuable as they are. And when it is talking about buy the truth and sell it not, it is talking about, number one, not taking it lightly. Number two, being willing to pay the price. You know, there is a price to truth. Truth does not come for free. There is a price that has to be paid. And God wants us to so love the truth that we would be like Jacob and Rachel. And now you're wondering, in what way do we want to be like Jacob and Rachel? I'm thinking in particular where it says of Jacob, when he was serving 7 years for Rachel, that the time, I forget how it says it, but it's like the time was as nothing for the love which he had for her. And so he was willing to pay any price to obtain Rachel. And I believe that that is the love that God wants us to have for the truth, that we would be willing to pay any price for the truth. That there would be nothing too great that could be asked of us. Now, we also have an example in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 10, where it says this, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And what does it say is their defining characteristic? That they are perishing. Perishing. Now that's not something that we want, is it? And what is their relationship to the truth? They don't love it. They don't have a love for the truth, and they are the ones that are perishing. And so I believe that God wants us to cherish what we've been given, not to take it lightly. The revelations that God has given us from His Word, the revelations that God has given us of Himself, the truth that He has imparted to us, we need to value and esteem, and we need to love it. All right, I want to move on. Number three. We need to live the truth. We need to live the truth. Is knowing something the same as acting on it? It wouldn't be a sermon of mine without a food illustration, would it? So I'll sneak one in here. How's that sound? If I asked you, what is healthier, a carrot or an ice cream bar, what would you say? The ice cream. Okay, yes. It's the carrot, right? How many of you have ever read a calorie content on the side and thought, well, I don't know if I could eat this, but you still ate it? Yes, okay. I'm not the only one. The truth is, you know which is better for you, don't you? But does that mean you never eat ice cream? And I mean, obviously, there's moderation in everything. But what I'm saying is the knowledge of what is right and best is not the sole decider of what we do. Because you can know, I shouldn't have this Twinkie. I should have a carrot. But that doesn't mean that you will have the carrot. Okay? So knowledge is not the only thing. What is also important is that we must live the truth. I know some of you were in class and when we taught recently on Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. And did Solomon know the right thing to do? I mean, Proverbs is full of excellent advice. And if he'd just followed half of it, he would have been in good shape. But he didn't. So did he know what was right? Yes. Did he live the truth? Not always. And certainly not perfectly. And I understand that all of us are going to make mistakes. We are. And God is redeeming us. Hallelujah. He is redeeming us day by day. But living the truth is very important. It is not just knowing the truth that is important. Living the truth is very important. I want to look at two aspects of living the truth. The first is obeying the truth. And we find this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. Do you just know the truth? Or do you live the truth and obey the truth? See, it is not enough just to know what is true and what is right. We must do that which is true and right. It is not sufficient just to know, but we must obey. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7, the Apostle Paul says this, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth?" So they're running well. They're running the race of life well. And the Apostle Paul is saying, who hindered you from that? That you ceased to obey the truth. That you began to turn back to what you had run away from. And it is essential that as a part of living the truth, that we obey the truth of God's word. Because we will not just give account of what we know, but we will give account of what we did with what we knew. And so it's not sufficient just to know what is right, but we must do what is right. And then the second part of living the truth is to walk in the truth. Psalm 86, verse 11, "Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth." And you know, walking is made up of many steps, right? I mean, if I do this, am I walking? Not really. I took a step, right? But if I do this, now I'm walking. Because it's more than one step. And yes, we could take a step of obedience, but really walking in the truth is more than just one step. It is continual steps of obedience put together, and that creates a walk in the truth. And that is how we live in the truth. A lifestyle of obedience to the truth. When God speaks something new to us, what do? Usually, we have a little cartoon light bulb above our head like, wow, right? That's the first thing. And that's the revelation of the knowledge of the truth. But then, if we are like it says in James, you know, if we just ignore it, and we just turn away, we're like the man who saw what he looked like and forgot. Because we have to put that truth into action. We have to put what God shows us into action. We have to live the truth. Now, I want to look at 1 Corinthians 9:27. The Apostle Paul warns us about the importance of living the truth. I'm sure we know this verse. He says, but I keep my body under and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. And we have to live what we know to be true. What God has spoken to us must be a part of our lives. We have to live it. Because just telling people the right thing is not going to be sufficient. Finally, I want to come to point number four tonight, and that is teach the truth. Know it, love it, live it, teach it. Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. Whosoever, therefore, shall break one of the least of these commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. I want you to notice the order there. You know, originally in my notes, I was going to put these in a different order. But my wife suggested this order, and then when I studied it, I was like, wow, this works. So there we go. You know why it works? What did we have just before teach the truth? Live the truth, right? What is the order in Matthew 5:19? Shall do and teach. Do and teach. Is it teach and do? No. It's the other way around. And we have to live the truth first, and then we can teach the truth. We must live it, and then out of that, we can begin to teach the truth. What happens if you don't live the truth that you teach? Do people follow it? Not for very long. Because after a while, they realize that there is nothing behind it, right? And God's desire is that we would teach the truth, but before we can do that, we must do the truth. We must live the truth. But make no mistake that God wants us to be teachers of the truth that He has given us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2 says this, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Did this only apply to the early church? Like, was it only important for Timothy to teach what Paul had taught him? No. We stand upon the shoulders of the generations who have gone before us. And each generation, God has added truth and revelation and has done things in each generation that He wants to build upon. And it is important that we take this responsibility seriously, that we teach the generations that are following us, and I'm old enough now that there's a generation below me. Never used to be the case, but so it is. That we teach the generations and we teach those that are following. That we teach them the truth, that we commit it to faithful men that they also may teach others. And it is important that God wants us to be those who teach others, who teach His truth. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, in closing. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. And Peter knew this by experience. He had lived through John the Baptist giving way to Jesus, and Jesus, in many ways, giving way to the church age, to the age in which we now live. He had gone through two transitions. And we read in Acts there were some who never made the transition or didn't make the transition until later from John the Baptist to Jesus. And so it is important that we embrace the unfolding revelation of truth in our lives. When God speaks to us and reveals truth to us, do we stay there? I think probably many of you have seen the vision that Pastor Bailey had years ago of the mountaintop. I don't know if it was his vision, but he used to relay it. Maybe somebody knows. Where there were plateaus, and people would stay on each plateau. But you know, it's not God's desire for us, or indeed, I think, for any believer. He wants us to always be responding to the truth, that we would not be complacent with what God has given us, but that we would continue to seek Him for greater revelations of His truth. Because ultimately, to know the truth is to know Him. Because He is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's what Jesus said. And so when we know the truth, when we love the truth, when we live the truth, and when we teach the truth, ultimately, He is in each of those steps. Amen? Well, let's close in a word of prayer and then